Communications Assistant 5145 with a message. This is Dual. Welcome to Radio Freak America. End of message.
Security alert, all decks.
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your system sucks.
Hey, I don't believe that any system is totally secure.
Remember, hacking is more than just a crime.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Damn it, I need to know, and I need to know now.
You are listening to Radio Freak America.
Okay, I am recording the show now, but not five seconds ago, I was watching Hackers, Outlaws, and Angels. Apparently, it was a replay on TLC. And, well, first let me introduce Meme, hyper special guest. What's up, Meme?
Hello.
Modulated. Let's hear it again.
That's me.
Yes. All right, well, I don't know if you've seen it. Do you ever see that show, Meme?
Oh, on the Lazy Channel?
Yeah, exactly. On
the TV. So lame.
It was, dude. It was. I turned it on, and it was like horror music. You know, it was that, you know, that monotone whining sound, the horror music, and they were talking about DOD and cyber terror and war, and then some ass, I don't know who, was like head of DOD cyber dicks, I don't know, said something about a cyber Pearl Harbor. What? And then they went on to...
Hey, it's kind of ironic, because for him it was, because if I remember correctly, that particular office was in the World Trade Center.
Ooh, ouch. Apparently it was.
And all the originally hacked cell phones, like the Oki cell phones, the very first ones.
Yeah.
Those were in an evidence room in that building.
No kidding.
Yeah.
A lot of that was lost.
An office there, and guess what else was there? The command... center for the mayor's office was in those towers too.
Yeah, a lot was lost when those towers went down, but it definitely wasn't a cyber. There's no such thing as a cyber Pearl Harbor. Listen to my rant last show, please. Refer to last show. All right, Nick84 has done it again. He owned, of course, PHPBB bulletin boards, as you probably read. I don't know, many e-zines. Actually, I think it was also posted on BugTrack. I think on Security Focus you could read about that. Well, guess what? He's done it again. He's now owned Envision Boards. He amazes me constantly. You can actually go to Stank's forums at stankdog.com and check out the specifics, because I know there's actually a few prerequisites to own an Envision Board. But if you want to know, talk to Nick. And Mute. By the way, Stank and Mute, they're not here. You know, they couldn't make this show. Actually, it's very, very fortunate, because I've wanted to get Meme on for a long time. We're actually... Let's go ahead and talk about this now. Meme, I'm hoping to get you and Logan Five, two accomplished artists, on the show. And we want to talk... Well, I'm not sure what we're going to talk about yet. You know, either the profession of graphic design or art and conspiracy, you know, activism, who knows?
This is probably the next, you know, soon-to-be illegal skill set.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be regulated, and you must register. You're an artist. You cannot propagate. Before I start ranting, we're going to talk more, lots more about your art, actually, because we've received a lot. But first, again, Stank and Mute couldn't make it tonight. Mute had a busy weekend. I bet you that's him calling me right now. I'm going to answer this. Hold on. This is bad radio. Hello? What up? Guess what we're doing? We are recording the show right now. Yeah, that's Meme. Meme and myself are recording right now. Are you up for it? He says he doesn't know. What's that? Yeah, we're recording right now. This is like horrible, horrible radio. I'd have to... All right, I can take it off speaker and call you. Three-way you in? All right, let's do that right now. All right, man. Late. Hey, which number? I'll have to guess. Okay, I'm not going to stop this. I'm not going to edit it. Sorry, Meme. Let's get him on.
No.
This is going to be... Not the first time we've done it, that's for sure. Okay, hold on 1 second. Okay, you're off speaker, Meme. You there? Okay, is that cool with you? We get Mute on? I think this is awesome. I think this is kind of exciting. Yeah, it might sound like that on your end. Hold on, let me flash you, and I'll get you right back, okay? Okay, everybody, I'm flashing over, and I'm dialing up Mute. It's funny. He must have a bug in my room, because as soon as I talked about Mute... And see if you can get the number from the button presses.
No.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, we're all here. Mute, this is so funny. As soon as... Now, and tell him, Meme. As soon as I said your name, we were starting to talk about what you did. You called my cell.
Perfect synchronization.
Yes, totally, totally. So, I tell you what. Mute, you had a busy weekend.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. It was kind of funny like that.
Let's hear about it.
Okay, so Sunday morning, I wake up.
You called me.
I didn't call you first. Because I logged on because I had my computer on overnight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I was doing. Anyways, I log on. My friend Silix, I met him on BugTrack one fateful day like a couple years ago. We talked back and forth for a while. Anyways, he sends me the defensivethinking.com link. And I'm like, I've been here before. Something must be up. Click it. It's been defaced. And I'm like, didn't this already happen? I'm getting old news. What's going on?
It really did happen.
Because I refreshed it a couple times, and someone did deface it. So I'm wondering what's going on. I post to the boards. I tell Nick. I yell at Nick over MSN to post that in his place. And then I say, well, wait a minute. Because Nick says to me, I think this is the same way they did it before with this front page extension stuff. I just say, okay, let me see what I can do. So I do the same thing, make a network place in Windows, and I go to the site. It's still open. Obviously because the guys are too stupid to figure out that maybe it was hacked and maybe we should fix it. So I can see everything. I tell Nick, and I go, and being the good black guy, whoever did it, he said, he made a temp directory. I was looking around the directories. So he kept the site there. The original site was still there in a directory.
Right, defensivethinking.com/temp.
Yeah, /temp was the site still. So, I said, Nick, I see the whole site here, I'm just going to leave. He's like, no, fix it. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I don't see any real harm in it. I mean, it crosses my mind, I'm like, well, this is breaking and entering, and I could get a felony. But last time this happened, Mitty didn't do anything to the guy that actually ruined it, so I don't think they do anything to me. I think I call, in that process, I do it, I cut and paste, Nick sees it, he's like, whoa, cool. And then I call you and tell you what I did.
Right, and it was up. When I went to the site, I went to the /temp, and it was there as well. And then not 5 minutes later...
It happens again.
That's right.
Guy comes back and defaces again. And I'm like, what's going on? I mean, does this guy have a light? I mean, you do it once, it's all you need. Your message is out.
Right.
I'll talk about hacktivism in a few minutes, but let me finish with half my story. So for about a half an hour, me and this guy are going back and forth, copying and pasting our sites across. And I'm like, this is going to get kind of old. So finally he stops doing it. I think it happened like three times. I don't remember, I don't want to piss him off or anything, but just let me just give a general two or three times. Oh, and the guy's name was, and I like to say it like this, DKD, left bracket, pipe, pipe. That's how I like to say his name. I don't do the lead speak. The guy doesn't deserve lead speak. All I say is DKD, left bracket, pipe, pipe.
What would that pronounce anyways? I have no idea.
It's like DK and then like a backwards D, and I don't even give a shit.
Okay, whatever, yeah.
Anyways, so the third time, it doesn't do anything. It just it stays up to the devs.com. But I refresh the directory. People are putting their own fucking exploits up. Like, I see this one to get C:\flash on the whole computer that's running, like the server. You could edit anything in the whole server. I'm like, okay, fine. The heck of this was enough. Now you gotta roll run your own, like, PHP exploits. No, no, this doesn't work like this. So I move all the, I rename them all, and I move them to a hacked folder. So defenseanything.com/hacked was a folder that had all the stuff in it. And I renamed everything so they couldn't get access to it. But I had to go and do some stuff. When I come back about a couple hours later, someone's password protected the directory. But they didn't password protect it. They put a blank user and blank pass. So I hit OK, and it got right to the thing. But this is a stupid thing. I couldn't read it right. But they know people. I think people noticed this. So then a password went up, a real password up, and I couldn't change anything. So that was the end of my help. During this whole time, people are talking in IRC chat, like Nick was cutting and pasting me and stuff. People actually knew who I was before I did this. I didn't even think I had a presence outside of Chicago 2600 and Radio Freak America. People said, Wintermute, I know that guy, and they said some bullshit about me. So I jump in chat, and I'm like, hi. And they're like, what the hell are you doing? And I was like, I'm fixing their site. And then basically people started telling me, don't talk about it. I didn't really give a shit at the time. And then a couple hours later, after work, it still hasn't been fixed. It's replaced with some Portuguese, like, the site is down for heavy maintenance, laughing out loud. And then I've been talking to some people, and then Zone H is, and then by then Zone H and SMP have published, Security News Portal, have published two stories. Zone H mentions of someone or something, or they just say someone, renewing and refacing the site. SMP comes up with the idea it's either someone on the inside, which doesn't make sense because they'd fix the whole site, or it's an anti defacing program that's replacing the site every time it gets defaced.
Right, restoring the index. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Later that day, I just say, Nick. While I was refacing, I send Mitnick an email saying, "Hi, I took the liberty of refacing your page today because I got hacked." And then 2 hours later, I get an email back from saying, thanks. I'll read it to you right now. I have it here. Let's see. It says, where is it? They delete it.
I've got it if you need it.
Bust it out.
Oh, you know what? I can't.
Oh, you can't? Okay.
I'm sorry. It'll skip.
Okay, yeah.
We can post that. Actually, I wanted to offer that to everybody. After he fixed it, I checked it out. And then 5 minutes later, it was hacked again. I've got that entire site archived, so if anybody wants it, let me know. I'll zip it up and send it to you. I've got the email from Kevin, too. I don't know if you want that out, but we can...
No, we want to keep it out just with us.
Okay, that's fine. So that's pretty exciting, actually. Now, I think that's very cool. You fix it. You do what a hacker does.
Yeah, this is what it is. I sent him an email saying, your site was hacked today. I took liberty of replacing your site with its proper version in a temp directory. The last hacker might have messed with some links, because they actually saw some links pointing to the temp directory, not pointing to actual links still in there. So he edited some stuff. So fixing those is a priority. Don't hesitate to contact me on our explanation. Wintermute. He says, thanks. We are using a third-party hosting company in Kentucky, so I'm not surprised. We're converting the site to run under a type of Unix, which I will not say. Kevin Mitnick.
Very nice. Well, it's
that was an action-packed day, and then of course Nick posts news on it, and then SMP picks it up, and from there we've been on a lot of independent news lately,
right.
All going back to Nick's site, Nick's original story actually, which is pretty funny.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Now, Mabe, do you agree with me that he did what a hacker should do?
Yes, I do. The only place I would maybe draw the line would be how conscientious the person would be with respect to knowing how current the archive is that they would be replacing, because I could see somebody maybe distorting it to the point that, like, for instance, a lazy webmaster might go to an old archive and
and restore something that's been hacked, only to restore it with something that's out of date, you know, really bad.
True.
Or has another hack in it that they don't know about.
Very true, very true.
I've seen defaced websites get fixed and replaced with an old defacing that was not caught.
Oh, something very subtle.
It was up for months.
Yeah. That's hilarious. All in all, quite an exciting day.
I'll say.
Yeah.
And this is what I want to say. How I did this, because I was able to and I could fix it. Normally, in under these circumstances, there's a lot of circumstances that made this something I did. First of all, I knew exactly how it worked. Second of all, I knew the person that I did that. I knew the person in what his history of this. He wouldn't press charges. Now, if I didn't know what I was doing, first of all, I couldn't do it. Second of all, if it was someone that I didn't know or didn't have a history that I know of, I wouldn't do it.
Because yeah.
They might start blaming me. But as they said, in the first time it was hacked, he thanked the guy for hacking it, mm-hmm. for destroying it. Now, I fixed it.
Right.
I mean, he can't. That's going against what he said. So, anyways,
if anybody would be lenient, it would be Kevin Mitnick in that situation. And really, you were treading, you know, on really shaky ground. I mean, look at Steve and Stephen Puffer, Dr. Sousa. Look at the kid in California. The young gentleman in high school in California. They're actually trying to help, and now they're getting felony charges. You know, so yeah, you're. I think you were
politics.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone gets their feelings hurt, because let's face it, some people are real receptive to having problems pointed out to them and having the thing remediated, while someone else sees it as, how dare you?
Exactly.
Yeah, basically, you're making them look like an idiot.
And I think that those kind of people are, well, I hate to say it, much more common, much more present
Punched.
Than the others, and I think you were right to be cautious, Mute. I definitely think you were.
The other thing that happened was, I was reading this stuff. Now, I do not agree with hacktivism whatsoever, because...
Really?
Right. Let me think about this. All right. When you hack a web page, you have a technical understanding of what happened. Now, usually, I know I am I'm purely technological. I don't want to involve other parts of my life in hacking as much as... I mean, those are things that are the part of my life. I know a lot of people say, like, okay, I'm going to do this, like, I'm going to hack this, or this, like, DKD, he did this because he had views about the Middle East. Now, I don't really think that is, I mean, I don't see that as good, because I don't like that, because then you're using your own technical exploits to gain something of your own, and...
But what if you didn't declare it, though? Like, what if you had done it anonymously, and at that point, what you're doing is a public service, but then rather than creating a deeper implication by pointing it out to them, it's also a challenge to see if they even pick up on the fact that you did it.
Yeah.
And then there's no ego trip, because they don't think it's one-upsmanship or anything, because you do it as a courtesy and you do it anonymously.
Yeah, the anonymity makes the message more powerful, I would think.
Kindness of a stranger, you know, it's like,
yeah.
It's Samaritan type thing.
Yeah. The other thing is that there's, I mean, you go to Zone Age and you see all these pages. And you see all these pages, and they say, you read them if they have the mirrors, or if it actually was just hacked. You see people that just say, like, this is hacked by this person, and then you see all these names, like, shouts to, like a list of names. And you know, I mean, all right, yeah, you hacked it. Wonderful. I mean, that's something, just because...
Well, how blatant you are, though. Like, obviously, when you have graffiti,
yeah.
You know, and there's obvious defacing... It's usually remediated pretty swiftly, and because
yeah.
It's so embarrassing, they tend to, you know, really be, strong in their prosecution of it. But on the other hand, if you're clever, like, for instance, let's say you go in there and you put your names in there, or we were there, but then you color that text the same color as the background,
yeah.
So it's only seen if you view the source code, then it's kind of a cute thing, because you have not caused any harm on the broad level, but within some, you know, more elite area,
yeah.
You are, and show me the victim.
Yeah, that's okay, because then you're not really hurting someone in that point. When you take down the whole site, I mean, you've actually ruined you ruined someone's commerce, you ruined someone's business like that. That's just coming from my white hat standpoint. If I was a black hat, then you'd have other views, like, yeah, okay, that's what we do. Whitehead, in my sense, we do it because We gain knowledge from it. We like it. We enjoy it. And we don't want to see it ruined.
Right. I think people don't understand the distinction between malicious intent versus curiosity. For instance, curiosity is more about exploring and trying things out as opposed to any kind of deliberate defacement or deliberate sabotage. And somehow they had just managed to weld those together. And the media says that hacking and some sort of malicious, nefarious use of computer technology is one and the same when it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I don't know how that happened, but it's just like, bam, that's how it was.
Yeah, and it's been that way for quite a while. Hopefully it will change soon. I don't think it will, unfortunately. If anybody wants to learn more about this, again, go to Nick's site, rootsecure.net. Go read Security News Portal. Actually, you should read that daily. It's a very good site. Mark's very cool over there. And learn about what hacking is to you. Learn about hacktivism. See what it means to you. You have to, you know, really, you know, you say, Mute, that you don't want to take any of your personal views into hacking. Well, personally, I do. You know, and you'll see some of that in the Freak News today. I think you should combine your personal views, your passions, with technology. I think Meme does that with her art. I think you should do it with your technology. You know, maybe you don't go deface a site or be malicious or DOS somebody, but I don't think there's anything wrong, and again, this is just my stupid views, with hacktivism.
Expressing a viewpoint, but in a different medium.
Well, all right, yeah, all right, I get your point. Now let me clarify what I was saying. I don't like to see defaced websites say that.
Okay.
Bring it out. When you bring it out in, like, Radio Freak America or Memes artwork, which is awesome.
Thank you.
That's cool. I love that. But when you do it to just because, okay, I'm going to deface this page and because I can do it.
Yeah.
I don't like that. No.
I understand. I fully understand what you're saying, and I totally agree. You know, because I own Jew, and you're a dumb sys admin. Yeah, I see what you mean. I totally agree.
Yeah, that's wrong. You put it out on a page. You put your own page up. You bring your own free speech. That's what the internet is. It's free speech.
You see it more akin to trespassing almost, because in a sense you're taking over their enterprise. To make your point, kind of like going into someone's restaurant and screaming at the top of your lungs versus maybe picketing outside or something.
Yeah.
So I think there's all degrees, and everybody has
a threshold
where they draw the line, and I think that's good that this is taking place, because you don't want everybody to say this is absolute. In other words, you can't do this, or this is right, or this is wrong, because there's so many shades of gray.
There's so many levels.
So I think it's an individual decision. I can't find any fault in Mute's point, because I think you have to cross that threshold of indignance to say, okay, this is my normal set of rules, but now I feel compelled to take it a step further. But only you should be able to decide that.
Right, right.
There are consequences sometimes.
Big time. There are big consequences. And we could talk, again, there's many levels of this. We could talk about this a lot, and I'm sure we've talked about it in the past, and we will definitely talk about it in the future. It's a very important topic, and it's very close to hackers' hearts, you know? Do you hunt hackers down and shoot them, and that'll make them stop? No, you don't, you know? It's.
What if you have a distributedly served site, and someone has the address to one of the servers, but not the other ones? And so they go make some update, you know, proactively, or make a change to something that they think is good, but then there's five other servers that have not been changed.
What would the implications be?
Well, what I'm getting at is then you cause some confusion for somebody, because what you're doing is you're fragmenting a problem. In other words, I think you have to be able to think of the scope and the full implications of something and how something's implemented, because sometimes you can mean well but not fully carry out your intention and then just cause more complexity of the problem.
Very true, very true. This is a complex
problem. And okay, why is this one affected and this one's not? How did it happen? And while it seems self-evident, they may come to the conclusion differently.
Yes, yes. I you're right. This is a very complex problem, and we will. You know what? I'm sure we'll address it again. It's yeah. I'm not going to rant, okay? I wanted to. I started to. You actually saved me, Mean. Thank you very much. I was starting to.
I didn't mean to.
Yeah, well, no, that's fine. I'm glad you did, because I actually want to move on. Because, again, we could talk the whole show about this. You know, it's been discussed on Off the Hook, HackerMind here, many e-zines, and it will be more in the future, as well it should be. I think hackers are very positive in this society. So, again, let me just move on. We did mention Nick. He's very prominent in Mute's Adventure this weekend. I want to thank Nick for archiving Radio Freak America. You can go to rfa.rootsecure.net and get past EPs. Now, I've got 50 EPs now on oldschoolfreak.com. That's right. Now you can find the past 50 episodes of RFA at a good, fast download. Nick's site, you can get the older apps, you can get all of them, actually. But he does, I think he gets charged for bandwidth, so take it easy on his server. But I want to thank Nick for that. A little more housekeeping, and we've both mentioned this, me and Mute, we've got a lot of art on oldschoolfreak.com. Tons of it. The most amazing, meaningful, you know, goosebump-inducing art I've seen in a long time. From you, Meme, thank you. From Logan5, and an awesome RFA wallpaper from Zapperlink. It's really cool. It's like blue and freaking very cool. I don't know if you've seen it, Meme, but it's awesome.
It's got a lot more people contributing, because I think back to last year, I think it was just me and Flip.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got, what, maybe 5 or 6 people or more?
Yeah, we've gotten a lot more. I've taken some down because I've gotten some more in. It doesn't mean they're gone or they're, you know, away forever, but I want to make room for other people. Again, the art is amazing. And actually, Meme, I want to talk about something you taught me. I don't think I mentioned it in the show notes I sent you, but here's what it is. You've taught me, Meme, to take the time and look at a piece of art. Not look at a piece of art, but almost study a piece of art. Notice what's going on. You know, be cognizant of what's in front of you. What feelings do you get? Actually take the time to look at what is in front of you, at that piece of art that somebody has put all of their feelings into, and I've been doing that. Specifically, and this really sticks in my mind, because when I saw it, I mean, it was moved. And honestly, it wasn't a good feeling. It was pretty disturbing, and that is your piece, Air America. Really, that disturbed me, and that doesn't mean it's a bad piece. That means it did what it was supposed to do. It means it's a great piece. It was actually on my desktop for a while. You can use all those pieces as your desktop wallpaper, by the way. But you've taught me something very important.
All in your room.
Yeah, exactly. Print them out. You told me this too, Meme. Print them out. You know, make a nice glossy color printout and hang it up somewhere. Guess what? Somebody's going to see it and somebody's going to be affected.
Absolutely. I mean, we need to level the playing field, because right now people's feelings of the world around them is not generally firsthand. A lot of times it is through the media, and we've got to, like Jello Biafra has said, we need to be the media, because if we don't become the media, then who is?
Exactly. And didn't you tell me this as well, Meme, that we should, what we do should be like what they do, and trust me, it is, and I'm going to discuss this. We should be viral with our ideas, what we're trying to get out to people, the truth, the knowledge.
Absolutely, because I think it's our duty. I mean, let's face it right now, we, you know, everything that we hold dear, such as liberty and the Bill of Rights, is truly at stake right now. But unfortunately, we're getting this message of don't worry, be happy, and, you know, shut up and shop and whatnot.
Oh, all the time. Oh, and be ready. BeReady.gov. That's right. If you're, you know, consumed by fear, it's easier for, you know, to be controlled.
Well, that's the thing is, there right now is, they're running perceptual management. And that's the thing is, a lot of people aren't savvy about decoding the marketing. In other words, a lot of us are creatures of habit and conditioning. Things such as like breakfast and having bacon. That is something that was created by marketers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you said decoding the marketing. I've got a great example. I was flipping through the horrible, horrible TV, right, while I'm eating my, you know, my Captain Crunch, whatever. And I happened upon what I thought. I couldn't tell what it was really at first. I'm not sure. I thought it was a commercial. Apparently, it was a show because it kept going beyond 30 seconds. And it was these views, commercial-like views, of two people talking. Very odd angles, you know, for anything that would be art on film. One of the guy, you know, at this weird orthogonal, you know, weird angle, and then it would go back to, you know, showing a lot of the background. And by the way, they were in an electronics superstore, right, with a lot of people with blue shirts walking around and big signs that say DVDs and everything. They're looking at big screen TVs. And then they would go back to the woman and they'd be talking, and it would show like almost a panoramic view, like they were showing the Grand Canyon, but it was merchandise. It was things to buy. It was, oh, what was it? Probably, you know, probably more TVs and phones and cell phones and who knows. Then it would go back to the guy and they were walking through the music section and you could buy all these new wonderful RIAA artists, and it was a Best Buy commercial.
The entertainment on Tech TV.
Yeah, pretty much. It was. It was a show. I ended up finding out that it was Dawson's Creek, but I swear to you, it was a commercial within the show. It was a commercial. The people in blue shirts, you know, that are now icons from Best Buy, were prominently seen walking around helping people happily, right? You could see the big yellow signs in the background right above all those shiny new DVDs. It was scary is what it was. You know, did people know that they were watching a commercial?
Well, that's the point, is things with like product placement and branding everywhere, people paying for the privilege of advertising for people by wearing shirts that are overpriced with other people's logos on them.
Yeah.
I mean, think about
it. And it was so insidious. It was scary what I was watching.
We've replaced tribalism and culture with manufactured consent, because the environment around us is basically deeply layered with messages. But this is a visual language, and it's very subliminal. They're using, I hate to say it, Nazi-like mind control, military psyops-type techniques on the public.
Oh, yes.
Case in point, Qatar. Yes, I said Qatar. I said Qatar. I did not say Qatar. I said Qatar. That's how it's been pronounced for years by military analysts, generals, and various news commentators and journalists. Why is it all of a sudden, with this recent new adventure, they've started, every one of them, saying Qatar? Is it some sort of thing like saying Saddam instead of Saddam? What is that? Well, guess what? Now they're all saying Qatar.
Yes. What does Qatar sound like?
It's like a demarcation die, you know, in a medical type thing, or standing a slide, or tagging an animal. What they're doing is they're creating a virus as a marking mechanism, as a trace mechanism, so they can see the degree of assimilation in their memes. I knew exactly what they're doing.
Yes, yes. And I'm glad you're pointing that out to everybody, and I'm glad we have your art to point that out to people. I'm glad you have, really, the talent, the creativity.
Well, I work in the field, and because of that, I can decode it and deconstruct it. And what I'm trying to do is provide people archetypes or prototypes that, in essence, deconstruct their messaging. Because these are primers for how perceptual management operates. So people can recognize that our impressions of the world around us are not primary or experiential. They're secondary from moving surfaces, from things such as television, things such as books and magazines, and the mass media.
Yeah. Oh, and we're going to talk more about this in the Freak News, by the way. All right, everybody. All right, if you can't get a grasp on this right now, I give you a couple of resources. First, Memes Art. She's put a lot of hard work into this art. Go and look at it. And again, what I was saying, notice it. Take the time. Look at it. Let's take a piece, for example, Quirst, the Quirst Telco piece. I took the time. I was looking at it. You know, of course, I saw their quote logo. You know, how it was changed in that piece. You know, of course, the name, it was obvious. There were other things in that piece, and then they're kind of small. Go look at that piece. Take the time, and you'll see it. You'll see this small piece of meaning. You know, has a greater effect on what you do and what you perceive out in the world, in the media, in telephones, for crying out loud. And I'll tie it in with the Freak News later. So take the time.
It's like a progressive disclosure. Like when you go to a movie, it's a really cool movie, and each time you see it, you get a little more out of it. Well, that's called progressive disclosure, or layers of meaning. And likewise,
yes,
environment around us, when we're being bombarded by messages, we don't always take it all in. There's a cognitive load factor. Just how much mental bandwidth do you have to be able to take in what they're hitting you with? But it sublimates in your subconscious the part you don't notice. But once you learn how to deconstruct these things, you recognize, wait a minute, they're telling me this, and it's like a magician trying to distract you.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can have something hidden in plain sight, and it goes straight into your subconscious.
Yeah, and we've got great 1024 by 768 examples of that on oldschoolfreak.com.
Hope everybody enjoys it.
I know I do. I love it. I really love it.
Enjoys it. That's the thing. It's like I need to come up with a rating system for how many government downloads we're getting.
We've got 117 hits from .mil this month, so I don't know what. We don't get specific. So I think it's time right now for... Oh, yeah. Making me happy.
Whoa, whoa, wait.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa. What's up? Oh, yeah. Do it again.
Sometime.
Yes. Nice. That means it's the freak news. Meme's actually a bit of a freak herself, aren't you, Meme?
That's me.
All right, now, starting the freak news. Oh, I forgot all about this email. We might be tight. All right, I don't care. If we go long, who cares? You guys mind?
Oh,
I'm cool.
All right, okay, here we go. Skip that. Before we go to the freak news, I've got an email I just received from M from S. If anybody's seen oldschoolfreak.com, they know that we've had a lot of updates. Lots. Lots of art, lots of text articles, a little bit of, graphical update. You know, nothing fancy, but it's been updated a lot.
And urban exploration, too.
Yeah, urban exploration. I'm actually hoping to write a little article myself about UE. So one of the things that went up, well, let me just read this first. Excuse me. Okay, Duel. I don't even know where to start with this email, but I'll just say that I think the image of the RSA spokeswoman is a bad idea. Okay, again, this is referring to one of the updates right on the first page. You'll see the RFA link. You know, the picture next to the Old School Freak logo is the RFA spokesmodel. I don't want to disrespect the artist and suggest censorship, but I have a few thoughts on why the spokeswoman should not be so prevalent on oldschoolfreak.com and RFA. Certainly, these are only my opinions, and you can disregard them as coming from a newbie fool. Of course not, M4Master, you're not a newbie fool. But please consider what I have to say. 1. I believe the hacker community is enough of a boys' club already. I think the image caters to the testosterone levels of that hacker community. Consider if a newbie female hacker came to your site to learn and explore, I think she would be immediately turned off and possibly felt disrespected. At the very least, there should be an attractive RFA spokesman picture. Yeah, he did say that. RFA spokesman picture for any females to enjoy at the same time. Oh, that's me.
Yeah, but if they're into other things, then we got to have, like, all these other archetypes.
Yeah,
know,
no
like
doubt. Yeah, we're going to get to that. I think women need to be respected for their body and minds, and I don't think that the image promotes that. 2, it subtracts from the focus of Old School Freak. Certainly the image was made in fun and with creativity in mind. But to me, the focus of Old School Freak is the technology discussions and information. The hacker art section has plenty of interesting, thoughtful, humorous, and mind-blowing images. I feel the spokeswoman is more fit to be there and so prominently displayed on displayed on the opening page.
Now we had laptops and ass one time too, though, and we didn't get a comment about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we still do, and actually she wanted that. So yeah, 3. To me, it takes away from the professionalism and high quality that your site has going for it.
Cool.
Not that I, yeah, thank you. Not that I think you are in a suit and tie when you record Radio Freak America, but you talk about serious issues, you raise money for a good cause, EFF, you very much treat newbies such as myself with respect, and you have quality texts. Thank you very much. To end, he writes, I feel that I may be overreacting to the image, but for some reason I needed to tell you those things. The only thing I'm asking is that you consider my points and talk to some hackers, professionals, and women to see what they think. And please feel free to respond and tell me that I'm an idiot. I would never do that if that is what you think. I still look forward to hearing the show tonight and keep up the good work. Thank you, M4S, for sending me that email. That means a lot that he cared enough to write in about that certain picture that I have placed. And I wondered if anything would happen. I didn't think so. First, let me tell you why I put it up. Somebody sent me that great piece of art. I think it was Michael, I think was his name. Thank you, Michael. Of course, the woman's very attractive. I found very attractive. Radio Freak America on her top. I thought this weekend, hey, that'd be cool. Cut it to the right size, you know. Cut out most of the body, actually, and put it up there. You know, I think it'd be neat, you know, very subtle with RFA across her top. An attractive woman, catches the eye. But also, what we talked about, you know, what is marketing, right? You've got beer models, right? You've got these sexy women selling what? Beer, selling cars, selling all this stuff. I thought it'd be rather humorous to have, and think about this, straight up, a sexy woman selling text files. You know, come on, isn't that funny, you know?
We're actually breaking down the old stereotype, if you think
yeah.
about it. Because, seriously, you've got these women making gratuitous TNA appearances, like for the Makita Tool Girl or something like that, whereas instead, we're basically showing, hey, you can still be, an attractive-looking woman, and basically be in the phone freaking. So we're also being inclusive at the same time, because most women, I think, are tolerant, because there is a shitload of sexism out there. I mean, we're almost desensitized to it because we've just learned to put up with it.
Yeah, and if anybody... Okay, thank you, Meme, very much. Meme's a woman. Everybody knows how much I respect Meme. I mean, one of the most... I hate to use this term, but elite hackers I know. She knows her shit. She's on the show. You know, you got so much good information from Meme tonight, you can't take it. You know, to me, putting this woman up, it's kind of, it's almost mocking advertising. Yeah, I got this hot chick selling, freak articles. You know, come on, from Captain B or something. No. It's awesome. I think it's funny. I think it looks good. It looks good on the site. And Meme, are you offended?
Not really, because, fuckedcompany.com, they have alternating files of, t-shirt models.
They do.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I think really the heart of the argument should be more about context. I think had it been placed somewhere else, maybe they wouldn't have reacted. I think they were, because they felt that it was prominent. Maybe that was why it seemed offensive to them, because they made a comment about if it were relegated to the art gallery.
Yes.
Mother section. And if you think about it, usually t-shirt models will be, like where you huckster shirts or something like that. So maybe he thought because it was prominent, it was sending the wrong message.
Maybe. And I definitely respect that, if that's how he feels.
Well, you know your dad, though?
What's that?
They're going to have to have a dolphin picture, too.
Don't bring that up, dude. Nope. Oh, my. Did you see that meme?
It's like that chicks and, shirts and,
Dude, that was so funny.
Oh, wow, you got a website?
When I read that. Oh, my God. Oh, goodness, thanks, forms. You don't know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry.
Pretty muddy slope, being inclusive. Giving equal time to people who have fetishes and whatnot. I mean, we don't have room enough.
Yeah, exactly. So,
hitting GIF in there, and every time, somebody pings the site, they get a different version, they'll get, the animal one, or they'll get the fat person one, or,
right.
No offense, because, to each his own, because I'm pretty weird, too.
They'll get my action shot.
Like sex with Ibo, or something like that.
Yeah, no action shots, no sex with Ibos.
Automatic sex,
Okay, well, thank you, M from S. Right now, I'm going to keep it up. I respect that he sent this in. I'm glad he said something. I'm glad we could talk about this, especially with the woman meme. I think I'm going to keep it up. I like it. I personally, beyond the fact of what it is, I just think it looks good. Not be that it's an attractive woman, whatever. I just think it looks good on the site. It's a good
model, and it's a decent-looking shot. You see the logo sticker. I mean, it's not like she has no shirt on. She had no shirt on.
Yeah.
You put the sticker across her breast, then, yeah.
Yeah, I would agree there. Yeah.
Maybe. But, unless she had, really good breasts. But, she was presented well. It was not a demeaning picture. In other words, she didn't look like she was being treated as a sex object, because it looked consensual. It didn't look like cheesecake. It wasn't like she was wearing a thong or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, she was wearing a black t-shirt with a sticker on it.
Yeah,
just trying to be PC.
Yeah, it is, and it is. It's. I don't want to say it's mocking, but it flies in the face a little bit of what conventional advertising is. I'm just showing. Hey, this is Radio Freak America. We've got a good sense of humor. We're not about selling Best Buy on Dawson's Creek. We're not about selling motor oil with chicks and thongs. You know, we're about text files, and we're about information, and we're about freedom and privacy and technology.
We're also about the fact that you could be anything. You know, in other words, this is not just, you know, JV hackers or, you know, adolescents. You know, this is people who could be, you know, senior citizens or still in grade school. It could be anybody.
Yeah, we've had lots of women. I know hackers over 60, you know. Well, again, just like the subject earlier, we could go on and on about this, but we need to get back to the freak news, because actually time is getting short really quick. What am I going to talk about this week? Boy, I don't know. Let me think. Maybe Quest. Yes, I'm going to talk about Quest. Last week, what did Quest announce? They announced that they had lost 35.9 billion dollars in all of 2002. That's right. They posted a $35.9 billion loss. Not good. This week, actually yesterday, actually, let me read. I picked up the multicolored fish wrap just for this fact, just for this story. Actually, 2 days in a row even. Tuesday, February 25th, 2003, in this horrible paper, the USA Today, the money section, section B, Quest indictments could be issued. Oh, I got, last show I was reading stuff and I had my face away from the mic. It sounded horrible. Okay, so let me read towards the mic. Quest indictments could be issued today. That was yesterday, Tuesday, February 25th. Sources say targets so far are mid-level, not top executives. You know what, I'll read just a little bit. Well, no, let me just paraphrase all of this. Basically, four former Quest executives were being indicted for basically artificially inflating their revenues, you know, to make their books look better, you know, make their books look bigger for all the people that's spending money on their stock, you know, kind of like Enron. Let's see, Quest said a rebate. Well, I don't want to go into this. They had a bunch of things happen, like selling equipment. They used things like selling equipment to Arizona schools, I think, to make their bottom line look bigger.
Selling off the phone book.
Yeah, they sell Quest.dex. They've been trying to do that for a long time.
Got rid of 500 employees, and they started using...
Smacking all these linemen that have given them real years, you know, and technicians, and spitting on them. Okay, here we go. Check this out. Prosecutors say four former Quest executives... This is from today's USA Today. Again, Quest execs charged with fraud. This is a good paragraph here. Prosecutors say four former Quest executives improperly booked $33 million in revenue in 2001 involving equipment and service sales to Arizona schools. Hey, that's lovely. Let's include schools in our fraud.
No kidding.
Nice. Arrest warrants were issued for Grant Graham, 37, Thomas Hall, 51, John Walker, 41, all of Colorado, and Brian Treadway of Georgia. They were indicted on 12 counts each. Each could face up to 40 years in prison and $2.75 million in fines.
Damn.
Okay. That's my telco, baby. Quest. You know what? And that's the spirit of service.
That's the spirit of reality distortion. All the people they fired, and then they're running these ads saying spirit of service, where they show senior service, you know, senior citizens, linemen making like multi-generational employment.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah, they got, oh, my grandfather was a lineman, and he worked in the storms when he was called out on emergencies, so you could call your grandmother on Sunday morning. You know what? Maybe it was that way a long time ago, but when Quest sucked up U.S. West and ran it into the ground because all they saw were big profits, and then the dot-com boom crushed everything, guess what? Four freaking execs are going to jail. That's what's going to happen. That's a bunch of crap. We actually talked about this feeling, you know, the feeling of what telcos, you know, were and should be. You know, they used to be like the power company, you know, the linemen now. They bust their ass. You know, they're dealing with deadly stuff to make sure you can listen, you know, listen to your CDs and watch your DVDs. They're out in the storms putting up, you know, 120,000 volt lines.
Looks like customer service and real human operators and stuff like
that. Exactly. That's what it should be. That's what that feeling was. And guess what? It's not. And people start to realize it. So what does Quest do? They start to twist things. They start to manipulate. They start to put this invasive advertising on their website with flash and all this crap and commercials. You see these commercials all over the place. They're sappy. It's all get out, you know? Bunch of crap. The people are probably actually, very genuine, right? The people on the commercials. They're working hard, you know, for their company. Maybe they know what's going on. They probably do, you know, but hey, we'll do it for the company. I want to keep working hard, you know, for the telco. Well, guess what? They're being manipulated. These commercials are manipulative. It's just this horrible, sappy, gray drivel, this spirit of service crap they're shoving down our throats. It's a bunch of crap, and they got a bunch of crappy deals too. Go check it out. Actually, there's a link on oldschoolfreak.com. I discuss their huge losses, the indictments, and the, quote, spirit of service. Go check out Spirit of Service website. That's, wow.
Not a parody. That's the thing.
Oh, I know, and it could be.
The parody is so mushy and so phony looking.
It is. Oh, it's just, oh, I can't. It
well designed,
makes my skin crawl.
Loose at first because you're like, this can't be for real. This mushy music, this bogus multi-generational service crap.
Right, you know, the family's hugging each other, you know, with like a phone between them or something. It's really funny.
I mean, it's like, yeah, three generations, you know, were linemen for the same company. The company didn't fucking exist until a few years ago.
Exactly. You mean U.S. West. You mean Mountain Bell. Come on. All right. That's almost more of a rant than freak news, but that's the big, big freak news is Quest and all their crap. I'm going to save these articles. We've been following Quest for a while, I'm sure, if you've been following RFA, and we talked about this feeling, what telco should be and how they're being slimy about it, you know? I think maybe it was the phone cards. I don't remember brought it up last time about Quest, but...
Well, it happened a little at a time. Remember when they started those phone stores that were in the malls, you know, where... Remember the phone man would quit coming to your house?
Yeah, I do remember that.
That was when they first started... you know, allowing you. Remember, they didn't allow you to have your own phone at one
right.
time.
Right. Oh, yeah, you look on the bottom of phones, and it's the property of, you know, Ma Bell, you know?
I remember back in the 60s, I used to remove my ringer on my phone because, you know, the word was, hey, man, you know, the phone company will, you know, pick up, you know, how many phones you have.
Right,
you know?
Ringer equivalency number, they can tell how many phones you got, so, yeah.
Because you had to hide, you know, they'd make you pay, and even if you didn't use their equipment because it wasn't your equipment, it was leased.
Right.
Suddenly they had these stores, but then that became in lieu of the normal, traditional house call. You know, it's like they'd activate your service, you'd have to plug your phone in, if it was a problem, you had to troubleshoot it, and it's just getting worse and worse.
Yes, big time, big time. All it is profit to them. Oh, that's all it is, not service anymore. You know, it's funny you mention hooking stuff up to the, you know, to the local loop, because I am going to do, and here's why, you'll see in a second, I am going to have the first... Freak book review in the Freak News. I'm gonna get, because believe it or not, freaks can read. We read a lot, and there's actually a lot of good books about freaking, you know, about telephones, about the technology, about the culture around telephones. Tonight will be the first, and I'm going to review, even though I've only read about 40 pages, but trust me, I know what I'm talking about here, A Phone of Our Own by Lang. I think it's H. Lang, Harry Lang. And the book, A Phone of Our Own, is about the creation, the history of the TTY, or the Telecommunications Device for the Deaf, TDD. A great book. Again, I've only read 40 pages, but personally, I can read one, two pages. I know if a book's going to be good. You know, I read a few, and I know if it's good or not, if I like it, if I eat it up, you know. And this is definitely one that I can't wait to read every night. Can't wait to get home and sit down and start reading on this book. It talks about, and I'm not going to go into too many specifics, but I think it's, I know I'm going to butcher his name, Weibricht, how do I even spell it here, hold on, let me look, W-E-I, well, the guy who invented the TTY, let's see, along with Marsters and Sachs, I can't find his name, oh man, I can't believe this, hold on. Flipping through.
Always go to Amazon.com, type in the name of the book, and do a search, and then get the author that way.
Yeah, well, the author is Lang, and this is the inventor, and I just want to find it so I can... Here it is. And I said it earlier, Weibricht, and I think that's how you pronounce it. Weibrecht. He's basically the inventor, along with a couple of others that helped him, Marsters and Sachs, invented the TTY. This is a great, great book. We talked about hooking stuff up to the phone company's lines. Well, guess what? They had a lot of trouble because they couldn't hook up their prototype TTYs. You know, they had to be really careful about it. It talks a lot about what deaf people have had to go through with the advances of technology. Actually, advances in technology, think about it, were detrimental to the communication abilities of deaf people. Think about it, the telephone. You know, we had the telegraph before, great, everybody could communicate. Well, guess what? Here comes the telephone, and it's for hearing people. It totally almost shuts out deaf people. How about movies?
They have those little keyboards, you know. I mean, hardly any services support that.
Yeah, wait till you read it. I'm only about 40 pages through, and you should see what I've read already. It's amazing. How about movies? Of course, they were called talkies, and they'd have a piano player there, and there'd be subtitles. Deaf people loved it. Guess what? When the talkies came out, oh, what a great advancement in technology. Guess what, deaf people? You can't hear or know what anybody is saying. Think about it. For 100 years, the phone has been around. And they created the TTY in 1964. 1964.
All that time,
deaf people were without the communication capabilities that we took for granted with telephones.
The thing is that was pretty much just point to point because, let's face it, how many places in the service sector have one of those machines?
Yeah, well, I'm actually working on something. Yeah, that's a very good point.
United Center.
United States. Well, let's not go too much into it because I'm going to bust this out later, actually, after the 2600 meeting. Maybe we'll do a little special show about this book, what we've learned, what I'm doing right now. Now, I'll send it to you, Mima. You have it already, Mute, I think.
Okay.
So let's save that. Let's just do the book review right now, and we'll get into all that later. We'll have a little special show. I'll have you guys on again, and we'll talk about TTYs. A great book. I cannot stress upon you enough how good this book is.
Paperback or hardback?
I have the hardback. It's actually a little hard to find. I had to go to a big bookstore. I don't like ordering books online. I like to get it in my hand. Unfortunately, I couldn't get this one in my hand. They had to order it. There was one in their system in the nation. And I said, get it for me. Gave them my fake name. And they called me up at one of my phone numbers and said, hey, Mike, one of my fake names, hey, your book's in. I ran down and I got it. It was $30, hardcover, brand new. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon.com. Again, a phone of our own. Highly recommend it.
Please look for a used one, too, if you don't have books to spend. Look for a used copy. A lot of hard-to-find books are specialized. You can still afford those books a lot of times if you just look for them used. And they're usually in real good condition because they're well cared for by the people who care about that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And personally, I lend books to people. Like, I'm going to be lending Art of Deception to you and me when I see you at the meeting. You know, and I would lend this to somebody, you know, local, you know.
Go to your librarian and tell them you need to have this book.
Yeah. Oh, what a great way to get that out. You know what? I bet it is in your library. This book is required reading for a free.
It will be.
Yeah, if you're a hacker, these guys were hackers. This is a good book to read. Of course, it's about freaking. You're going to learn a lot about telephones and the telephone system from early on. I mean, it's amazing the devices that the deaf people used to, you know, use or try to use or have to use to get information. There was one, I don't remember what they called it, but basically it was just like a meter. You put it up to your line, and when it would sense this, you know, a signal coming down your line, it was like an analog multimeter. You know, the needle would jump. And basically, you would have a code. The deaf person would have a code with the hearing person. And if it was a yes, you know, they could either put it, you know, well, back then it was a rotary dial. So you could, you know, do a one, you know, whatever, a two and get that done. The needle would go twice and that would mean no. And one would mean yes. You know, just these crazy codes. Or your voice, you would say yes. And the needle would jump once, and you would say, no, and it would jump twice, and oh, and you'd have to do things by code, and did you hear me, did you understand me, and you'd get one jump, and oh, great, but they didn't, you know, who knows, you know, ambient line noise would cause a needle to jump, and
analog is so susceptible, because you have so many physical variances in the
vibrations,
you know.
Yeah, think about that, you'd have all this crap, you know, and your code's just going to hell, so it's an amazing book, and the struggles these gentlemen went through. There's more to it. I think the subtitle is something like a subversion of the AT&T network or so. Here we go. The Deaf Insurrection Against Ma Bell. Yes. By Harry G. Lang. Great book. I cannot rant about this enough. Go read it. And I'm going to have more freak book reviews in the freak news. Believe it or not, there's lots of books about telephones and telephony.
Now, and anybody out there, even if you don't buy a book, you know, from a place like Amazon or Barnes & Noble, consider writing a review, submitting a review, because a lot of times nobody wants to go out and buy a book, you know, if they don't know if it's going to be any good or not. And if you've actually read this book and you know it's good whether you bought it there or not, put up a review so that someone else can connect with that information.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully this show does that. I wanted this book bad. I wanted, honestly, I wanted it new. I wanted it in good condition. I went to the store and they found it for me. You know, I've got actually some other books I'm looking at right now. Actually, all my other freak books are all used. This is the only one I've ever bought new. I've got a lot of, believe it or not, freak books. Is that kind of weird? Eh, maybe. But this is my first one. I know I wanted this so bad. I mean, just because
it's
I want.
It's so hard to find.
Yeah, sometimes they are. And I wanted to learn about this. This is. All right, I'm going to combine, you know, we were talking about earlier, personal feelings with technology. And this really strikes me on a personal level. You know, think about it. The struggle, I mean, really, think hard, feel in your heart. I know it sounds corny, but the struggle that deaf people went through to see, we can use a phone anytime, anywhere. We got beige boxes, cell phones, whatever. We can use them all over the place, right? Everywhere you go. We take it for granted, but deaf people, they had to struggle, and still probably I'm sure it's better with other electronic means.
I am to having to live somewhere, you know, where I have good connectivity, and then I think back to the day where they would be a slave to the service area. They
yes.
have to find a place where they qualify the line where the equipment would even function.
Yes.
Or find a telco that actually supports the service because it wasn't available everywhere.
Yeah, they had special lines, exactly. So think of that struggle. Think about that, and you'll see why this book meant so much to me, means so much to me. You know, I'm feeling something as I read it. So A Phone of Our Own by Lang. Check it out, get it, find it, and read it. That's the freak news today. All right, here we go.
I like to bring it to a meeting.
I'm going to, actually. Just wait, I've actually got a presentation. I'm planning for the next meeting, so we'll talk about TTYs more afterwards. Okay, I think we got an hour in. What an awesome show. Thank you so much, Meme.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mute, for being psychic, and calling us up when you knew we were talking about you.
Yep.
It's perfect. I'm glad you came. Shout to Stank. Shout to everybody. Keep going to oldschoolfreak.com. We've got lots more to come. We've got some text files in the wings. So stay tuned. Hopefully some more art soon. Some more special guests. And again, we're going to have Meme on again soon.
Oh, it's still legal.
Art will be illegal in the new military state.